welcome to the Alan Brazil Lockdown Podcast. Here we go. Hello and welcome to the Alan Brazil Podcast. Lockdown, vineyards, wine, beautiful places to go. That's what we're going to talk about. How are you? I know it's very difficult out there, so pray God the numbers, the fatalities are coming down, but it's still horrible, isn't it? So let's try and cheer you up with a wee couple of stories and some nice wine that which I'm enjoying. As you know, I'm out in the Essex-Suffolk border, and I have to tell you, I know the report in the newspapers today and the phones were saying this could be the warmest, hottest April ever. So for me, it's perfect because, you know, I've got a beautiful garden and my views are absolutely stunning. And I know some of you are listening. It's tougher. You're on your own. You know, I've got my middle girl here, Lucy. I've got my wife here. My other kids are not far away and they come 100 yards away, wave, leave a bottle of wine or we leave them a cake that Jill's baked and off they go. So it's not easy, but we have to get through it. So, as I say, the weather's been brilliant and some of the wildlife is sensational. In fact, I said to Jill today, we're lucky enough, I bought a camper a few years ago. I've hardly used it, by the way, because it was for retirement. And I might be using it soon. but one of these nights, we're going to go at the top of the paddocks in the camper and have a little bit of, I don't know, cheese and bread, glass of red, and just chill out and just see what's up there through the night and into the early hours. So I'm looking forward to that because we've got clear sky here in Suffolk. It's magnificent, and I mean beautiful. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Right, in terms of what we're up to, I thought we'd... The crusher went down so well, so many texts and emails, people loving it. But it's a bit strong, so what about the whites? I think the easiest now is Pinot Grigio or Gavi, and I normally get 12 Pinot Grigio, 12 Gavi sent to the house, or if we're women get out, we go down to Tesco or whatever, and Waitrose, and it's nice, it's lovely, easy drinking. If you're going to have a bottle a night between you, nice, nice, nice. And Pinot Grigio, I think, is real good value. People say, oh, it's cheap. It's not cheap. Pinot Grigio is lovely, right? Gavi's a little bit more. In fact, sometimes double the price. But Pinot's okay if you get a nice dry one. So, Chablis. Let me talk to you about Chablis. I always remember as a kid coming down to Ipswich from Glasgow. And Newmarket was 40 minutes up the road. We used to go there a lot. And it was wonderful. You had Mr. Sangster, Robert Sangster. You had Captain Marcos Lemos. People, you know, billionaires who had a string of racehorses would invite us down. Because they'd come down to Ipswich Town, to Portman Road, and watch some of the football on a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night, which was normally a UEFA Cup. And they'd return the favour, and it was beautiful. And the way they lived, oh, sensational. And I remember going to the summer party. In fact, at this time of the year, April, it was the Craven meeting, and you'd have Lester Pigott there. Steve Cawthon, do you remember Steve Cawthon, the American jockey? He was magic. They say he had his brain. He knew every furlong, how fast he was going, what time it was. And they were there, Pat Edrey, people like that. The butler was there. Wow, wow, wow. So there was a lovely fella, because we were in Europe most years, this lovely fella got me into Chablis, and he was a Romany, okay? A Romany, a traveller who'd done really well for himself, and he's the most beautiful old man you could meet. He was a pal of Billy Butler, his name was Charlie Manning from Felixstowe. His brother, I think, had the fun park down near Southsea, is it, near Portsmouth? And Charlie was just a gem, a big black Bentley. But lived, you know, he was immaculate. Lived in a council house and he's still getting the Count's house in Felixstowe. He still had his mum's caravan in the back garden. It tells you what sort of man he was. But a gentleman, he'd come all the games with us. He'd join in with the directors of the football club. Never in a hurry, Murray Sangster. Never in a hurry, Murray. Lovely man. Willie Kerr, the Ayrshire farmer who came down, had some land out near Framlingham. The Kerrs, Eastern Farm Park, that was theirs. You may have been there. Beautiful, not a safari park, but a farming park. It's gorgeous. David Sheepshanks out there as well from Italy. Anyway, Charlie, on my way back from London, he'd always pop into Le Tolbooth, which was right on the boundary between Essex and Suffolk. So you had Dedham Vale, okay? You had Flatford Mill with the beautiful paintings of John Constable from. Gainsborough wasn't far away if you're into your painters, artists. He was down in Sudbury, but this is Constable country. And I'd always have a little look over the bridge as I passed, and the Black Bentley was there, so I'd take the next turn off and slip into Stratford St Mary up to the Tolbooth. And there was Charlie, and he'd have a dozen oysters and a bottle of Chablis. And I used to join him. And I don't know, do you know what? I don't know if it was the wine or the company or the stories or his upbringing he used to tell me about. I was enchanted. Fantastic. And that got me on to Chablis. It was beautiful. A bit pricey then for me, but you know, nowadays, you know, I think a lot of the wine has come down in price, but Chablis for me, a crisp taste. I love dry wine. And Chablis for me, when I was taking my kids skiing down to the Alps, we'd always go down to Savoie, to Méribel, Courchevel, down there, or Tignes in the early days, to race train on the glacier there, even in the summer. And the times we passed, went down there past Chablis, I thought, I've got to pull in, like I did Champagne. The Champagne's only, what, an hour and a half, hour and three quarters past Paris. And some of the stories you hear about the fantastic champagnes. Tattinger, did you know that Monsieur Tattinger, all those years ago, in the Second World War, would hide the RAF pilots in the caves, in his cellars, when the Germans would come looking, because we're talking miles and miles and miles of cellars where all this beautiful wine and champagne is kept. So next time you buy a bottle of champagne, think of Tattinger. But I want to talk about Bollinger. And I'm just going to give you a little note on Bollinger, right, which is really interesting. And I wasn't aware of this, by the way. The story began with Athanasi de Villemont. He was the youngest son of a noble family, who had a fantastic destiny future ahead of him. A soldier who shone during the American War of Independence, he inherited a fantastic estate from the family in the IA era. He immediately foresaw the extraordinary potential of the wines of Champagne. And don't forget, it has to be sparkling wine has to be from the designated Champagne vineyards, or you cannot call it Champagne. For instance, you might go to Australia and have some Chandon. Now, Chandon's an area over in Australia where they've probably imported the vines from Champagne, and you're tasting almost similar, the same Champagne, but because it's not grown in Champagne, it's sparkling wine, okay? But anyway, he was a bit of an aristocrat. He was forbidden to become involved in trade. He then met, now this is interesting, he met a guy called Joseph Bollinger, a wildly travelled German, yes, who had left his country of birth to learn about the Champagne wine trade. And Paul Renadine, a local man, was fascinated by the world of wine. The firm of Renadine, Bollinger and Cie was founded way back in 1829, February. And Joseph took care of sales and Paul of the cellar. Amazing. So Athanasi had founded a champagne house that was to, well, incredible, ensure throughout the centuries. And that's where we get Bollinger from. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're careful, you can pick up Bollinger at a decent price. I always use it for, well, it was special occasions, but I got to know through the radio Lawrence Dallaglio very well, and he's got many friends in the trade, and I think he's a bit of an ambassador for Bollinger. So I do get the odd case, sent over, and I don't have to pay the absolute maximum price. So that's a luxury which I absolutely adore. But going back to Charlie Manning and Ipswich, the directors, the Cobolds, who owned Tolly Cobbold, the brewery, they went to school, I think it was Eton, with the Hillwoods, who was the chairman and owner of Arsenal. And they were a couple of great guys, great guys. The Empire. And I remember going to play Saint-Étienne in the quarterfinal UEFA Cup 81. And the stories we heard that Gerald Mielsen from the Tolbooth had taken the guys out to this fantastic Michelin star. I didn't realise Lyon. Now, Saint-Étienne is an industrial park not far from Lyon. And Lyon is basically the foot of the Alps. You fly into Saint-Expery, the airport there, and it's only an hour and a half drive up the Alps to the likes of Méribel, Courchevel or whatever. It's beautiful. Anyway, they all went to this fantastic... I think they were nearly thrown out twice, but they were there because the Cobolds were a bit crude, a bit posh, but a bit crude with the language. But they came back and the bill, God knows what, it was thousands and thousands and thousands. And we got results and Etienne went one up. And in those days, they had the French Georges Best, Russia too. Platini played for Saint-Étienne. And the guy who made the goal, Platini took the corner, and the guy knocked the goal and was Johnny Rat, the great Dutchman. And they had a wonderful side, and their boss, their owner, was a guy called Bernard Tapie, who I think may be still involved with Marseille. But what a side they had. But anyway, they scored first, and we battered them 4-1. What a night that was with the locals. We went out afterwards in the little villages around Saint-Étienne, and they couldn't believe how we'd smashed their side, the first English team to beat Saint-Étienne on home soil in Europe. And we had a few beers that night. It was wonderful. So I remember Shabley, and I remember once going to Newmarket, and Charlie was there, and we'd put a couple of tips, and they'd gone in, and I ended up driving Charlie back from Newmarket to Felixstowe, to his lovely little house. Talk about cosy. Council house, who cares? Beautiful. Heather, his wife, was there. And Charlie just said, excuse me a minute. And I sat by the fire. And she went, Alan, I really can't thank you enough for driving Charlie home. I went, no problem, Heather. She says, but if I was you, I'd get out of that chair quick. He's been sitting in that chair for 50 years. That was his mum's chair. Get out of that chair quick. And I did. And I always remember Charlie, his stories. I remember going to Southampton once, we were playing down there, and I went for a walk down the dock, and there was a cruise ship liner. We were departing from Southampton, heading to New York. And Charlie was there, and he had a little clicker on him. I said, what are you doing, Charlie? Morning, how are you? He said, God, they take some money here, boy. I went, what do you mean? And he was clicking the amount of passengers that were going round the boat, sightseeing this massive cruise that was going over to New York. And he was working out how much each one was paying just to go round the boat, you know, sightseeing and then back on onto land. And that's what it was. He was dodgems. He'd all these things in Felixstowe. And so many of you listening would have been there. Felixstowe, down the fun part, Manning's. That was a great man, Charlie Manning. Brilliant, absolutely. So anyway, back to the Shabley. Shabley's beautiful, love it. Bollinger, you can't beat it. Listen, Paul Roger's another beautiful champagne. A little bit creamy, which I don't know if you like, but I love. A little bit creamy, this Paul Roger. And of course, that was Winston Churchill's favourite. He loved a tipple, didn't sleep much like Margaret Thatcher, didn't sleep much at night. And he loved Paul Roger. So I'm torn between Bollinger and Paul Roger. But thanks to Lawrence Dallaglio, I'm a Bollinger man because he looks after me big style. So listen, if you ever come out this way, if you ever come out, you've got to, maybe you're going racing to Newmarket. I've touched on Newmarket. And of course, at the moment, they're trying to get racing underway again, maybe at Lingfield and Newcastle on the all weather. But we will eventually get back there. But if ever you want to come to this part of the world, Suffolk, because a lot of people don't understand what it's about. It's big skies. And I mean, big skies. And you can always, between Newmarket and where I live, Colchester, there's a beautiful villages, and I mean beautiful, of Lavenham, where Harry Potter's house is, the door, the famous door. That's in Lavenham. You've got the Swan there, which is stunning. And then as you head from Lavingham, heading towards Newmarket, you come to a beautiful antique place called Long Melford, which is stunning. You've got Kentwell Hall there. You've got the most magnificent church, and I mean magnificent, up there on the green. It is stunning. Then you come to Clare. Cavendish. Clare's got the beautiful yews, the yew trees in the cemetery, which are amazing to see. Cavendish is beautiful as well. And I'd had many, many a great time going to Newmarket and coming back the way, stopping off. Luckily, driver would take us. It was great. I mean, stop off the little inns there. And it really was special. And it's not that far. It takes me about an hour back from Newmarket going the long way. But it was well, well worth it. It's fantastic. And my brother-in-law, Tony, you might hear a guitar during the podcast. Tony's passed now, believe it or not, sepsis. We've got this problem with coronavirus. Tony died young with sepsis. And we should do a lot more about that, let me tell you. It really annoys me. But we've got more to think about at the moment. But he was a great guitar player. Loved his acoustic. Loved his Spanish. So we're going to play out. His name is Tony Davis. Lovely. My wife's brother. And I hope you enjoyed it. But please, you have to come to Suffolk.